We're going to begin tonight. I want to ask a question that I'd like a little bit of interaction with. And the question that I begin with is this: how do you know if you love something? How do you know if you love something? You think about it constantly. You give your time to it. How do you know if you love something? Yeah, I thought about asking the question, how do you know if you love someone? But I'm going with something. Okay? How do you know if you love something? You give your time to it. You think about it all the time. You enjoy it. Okay? You enjoy it. How do you know if you love something? You tell other people about it. You might sacrifice other things, even potentially other good things for it. Okay? How do you know if you love something? But tonight I'd like to talk to you about something that we ought to love. And so I wanted to start off with this particular thought. But let me share with you, first of all, just a profound thought that we're all very familiar with. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15 says, "It is a trustworthy statement, deserving full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am foremost of all." How many of you have heard that verse before? You know, you look at that verse and you're reminded about some incredible truths. We're coming up on the Christmas season, and so we might think about Christ Jesus coming into the world. We think about the statement that, yes, we're sinners, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You might occasionally even consider yourself the worst of sinners, as Paul did in this particular instance. But it's interesting that Paul says it is a trustworthy statement. That there's something that's being spoken here that we are to grab onto. There's something not only spoken, not only written, not only communicated, but he uses the word trustworthy. That something Paul wrote was trustworthy. Tonight, I'd like to talk to you about developing a hunger for the Word of God. Our youth group has been memorizing 1 Peter. We've spent a lot of time talking about various aspects of 1 Peter. And tonight, I want to do that as well and give to you from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, what I've entitled, Developing a Hunger for God's Word. Now, we need to develop a hunger for God's Word. It's almost sad to say that we need to develop a hunger for God's Word, because according to this passage, it should be almost automatic, right? We look at this text and it says, therefore, in view of all that chapter 1 has said, and being chosen by God and living lives as obedient children, recognizing the holiness of God, knowing that we've been given the Word of God that's been preached to us. That's how chapter 1 ends, is about the Word of God being preached to us. Therefore, in light of that, putting aside all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, like newborn babies. Do you have to teach a baby to do this? Long for the pure milk of the Word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation, if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. I asked the question, how do you know if you love something? Let me ask you this question. Do you love the Word of God? And how do you know? You're in it all the time? If we just start applying some of the things we heard before, right? You sacrifice other things so that you can spend time in it. You tell other people about it. You know, if I asked that question, do you love the Word of God? And when I asked the question, I saw some very subtle nods, right? Every one of us will affirm that, probably to some degree or another, generally speaking. We're going to agree with that. But if I ask how many of you not only read the Word of God, but also study it, or at least contemplate portions of the Word of God, not only regularly, but thoroughly, you're trying to really process it, our answers sometimes are a little different. Because things start getting in the way. other things that we love start to take precedent. This is true not only of worldly things, of course. Our busy culture tends to cause us to rush through things rather than enjoy things. How many of you have worldly things, not necessarily bad things, but sometimes you got to rush through them? You know, we live in a day and age, you don't have to watch commercials anymore, do you? Unless it's on YouTube and it won't let you skip. But how many of you, when you get on YouTube and it says you can skip this ad in 5 seconds, you're like hitting it at 3 and 4 and like, you're right, you know? We rush through everything. We're so prone to just be so busy with things that we don't take it all in. And that's true not only of worldly things, but I believe it to be true at times, sometimes more so than others, of the Word of God. It is the psalmist who wrote in Psalm 119, verse 97, a verse I would encourage you to commit to memory. It's not very hard. It's a good verse to contemplate. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation first thing in the morning. It is my meditation some of the time. It is what I contemplate and ponder and muse on for 15 minutes before I go to bed. What does the psalmist say? Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. There's a great question I love to ask when reading the Psalms. And the question that I ask myself whenever I read the Psalms is this. I'll come to a statement like this. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. And I'll simply ask, is this true for me? Whenever you see David say something about himself, about how he responds to God, how he reacts to God, I just ask the question, is this true for me? Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation. It is what I contemplate all the day. The psalmist not only declared that he loved the Word of God, but he meditated on it all the day. And I just want to challenge I challenge myself. I mean, I'm a pastor. I get to sit in an office and I have all my books and I have everything that you would think would be necessary to do this very thing. And sometimes I don't do this very thing. I can be on the phone doing this, that, or the other thing, working on some kind of project or whatever. And so can we really say we love God's Word if we are not meditating on it regularly, or in this case, as it says here, repeatedly and continually from the beginning of the day until the end of the day? And when we wake up in the middle of the night, you know the time that things are the very worst, when the problems seem the very biggest, when all your worries and anxieties feel like a load coming down on you? It's about 3 o'clock in the morning, isn't it? What should you be doing? Meditating on the Word of God and praying the Word of God. Do you long for the Word of God? Do you desire the Word of God? I ask you young people, you can sit here and, oh, I just grow up in the church. By the way, God has no grandchildren. He only has children. You are not a Christian because your parents are Christian. That is a sure path to hell. You need to be certain about your own Christianity, your own relationship to Jesus, and part of the certainty of knowing you belong to Jesus is a longing for, a love for, the Word of God. Do you long for it? Do you desire it? Listen again to what the psalmist had to say about the Word of God in Psalm 119, verse 131. I love the picture. I opened my mouth wide and panted, for I longed for your commandments. What comes to your mind when you read that? What kind of picture, what kind of imagery does that bring up in your mind? I opened my mouth wide and panted, for I longed for your commandments. It's your turn. What's that? Thirst for God? Oh, a thirsty dog. Okay. A thirst for God, a thirsty dog. Okay. What's that? Yes. There you go. Yeah. You know, you could look at it a couple of ways. I opened my mouth wide and panted. When you think about longing for milk like the newborn babies, What do babies do when you have that food for them? Remember when you're first feeding your baby and you get that food on the spoon and you get the spoon near them? What do they do? Yeah, you're being graphic there. Okay? They open their mouth wide. They open their mouth wide. And here's the psalmist saying, I'm so desirous for your word. I open my mouth wide. And then this other imagery comes in. Then I panted. Animals pant, right? When they're thirsty. And then another word that's used, I longed for your commandments. You've ever longed for something? Hey, you teenagers, you've ever longed for something? I gotta have the latest and greatest, this or that. I gotta have these particular shoes. I've gotta be able to, whatever it is, you've longed for something. Do you long for the Word of God? Why did the psalmist love and long for the Word of God? Can I tell you why he longed for the Word of God? Because, I'll use the big word here, it's the revelation of God. It's the revelation of God. It is God speaking to you and to me. Through the Word of God, we come to know the God of the Word. Knowing and experiencing God is what we were created for. You were created to know God, and you were created to know Him with words. And He gave you His own words that you might know God. Some of you know one of my most favorite verses, the quote, repeatedly, is John 17:3. And Jesus said, this is eternal life. Why would I love that? Because it's so definitive. It is a definition. I always love the word is. When something in the Bible says, this is something, that's a definition. I can take it to the bank. This is eternal life. If I asked that question before setting all of this up, if I were to ask you what is eternal life, you would say it's going to heaven. You would say it's not dying because of our sins. You'd come up with all of these things. But Jesus said, this is eternal life, that they may know you, that they may know you, the one true God and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. You were created to know God. You were created to be in love with Him, to be saturated with His own words that He gave to you through the Holy Scriptures. Knowing and experiencing God is what we were created for. The psalmist says it another way in Psalm 34:8, when he said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed, how happy, how overjoyed is the person who takes refuge in Him. What is the idea of taking refuge in something? What is taking refuge in something? Hiding? Hiding in safety, getting into some place that's safe and secure. And that is the picture. The happy man is the one who's hiding himself in God. How do we hide ourselves in God? We see His goodness. How do we see His goodness? We open up the book. The reason why the psalmist had a passion for the Word of God was because he knew God intimately. If you are here, and I speak to every one of us, I speak from the youngest and to the oldest, but if you are here and you don't have a passion for the Word of God, you don't know Him. You can't not be in a passionate relationship with God if you don't know Him. And you can't know Him if you don't long to know Him. And the only way to know Him is through the Word. The more that you get to know Him, the more you want to know Him. It's a building kind of cyclical thing that goes on in your life. The more you read the Word of God, the more you want to read the Word of God. If you're having problems reading the Word of God, commit yourself, devote yourself to reading and reading until it becomes such a part of you that you long for it. It's through the living and abiding Word that we come to know God. When my wife and I were dating, I did write to her many love letters. Little notes at times, sometimes longer love letters that she loved to read. And guess what? She still has them. We've been married 26 years. We've known each other for about 30, 31 years. I wrote some of those before we were married. So she will read 30-year-old notes that I wrote to her. And they're pretty silly. God wrote to us love letters much older than 30 years, and there's not one silly thing in them. The Word of God is God's love letter to us. His Word is revealing to something to us about Himself. And so if we do not love God's Word, either we do not know God or there's something else terribly wrong. And Peter wrote again, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the Word so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. There will be a few of you that can relate to this, but all of us will understand the picture. Have you ever had to get up in the middle of the night to feed a crying baby? Then you understand the intense desire that Peter is saying we are to have for the Word of God. The entire house knows it, right? Until that baby has something coming into its mouth, the entire house is disrupted. Yeah, some of the kids learn how to sleep through it, but the parents don't. They understand perfectly well that something has to change. Something has to happen. And sustenance has to be delivered. And when was the last time, and I ask this with all sincerity of each and every one of us, when was the last time you got down on your knees, whether figuratively or literally, and you said, God, if you don't feed me, I'll die? Have you ever? Isn't that the intensity? Is Peter just using some kind of hyperbole? Is he just trying to be exaggerating in some way? I say not. He says that the believer has such a longing for the Word of God, you might as well, the baby can get in line. Because my intensity to know God and His Word is intense. Peter is saying we need to have this kind of longing for God's Word, if we are to grow spiritually, if you are to love salvation, if you are going to follow Jesus, if you're going to be a witness for Jesus, if you're going to actually affect your family for Jesus, if you would change a community for Jesus, it begins right here, right now, with saying, God, give me a hunger and a thirst for the Word of God. How do we develop that kind of hunger? That's the question. And yet Peter answers it for us right here and now. And that's what I want to spend the next few moments considering, the very simple, straightforward way in which Peter says we can develop that kind of hunger for the Word of God. Do you know the number one reason why we don't have a hunger for the Word of God? Three-letter word that starts with S and ends with N. Sin. And so that's my first point. Do you want to develop a hunger and thirst for the Word of God? The first thing you need to do, and everybody's like, well, yeah, that's an easy answer, right? Do away with sin. Isn't that what Peter said? And this was the word, chapter 1, verse 25, and this is the word that was preached to you. Therefore, putting aside, and then he just starts using these descriptive words, things that we all adore, right? Malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander. How many of you like all those things? How many of you prefer not to like such things? Okay. But how many times do we find ourselves being deceitful? Maybe not telling the entire truth to our parents. Maybe being hypocritical, telling people, you need to do this, but then you go off and do something entirely different. Being upset that somebody has something that you don't. Maybe saying something that you ought not to have said. You see, Peter begins again with that word therefore in verse 1, connecting everything together here. What Peter had said from the beginning now is coming to its head in chapter 2. If you think about what Peter wrote back in chapter 1, I, of course, read for you verse 25. Let me go back just a moment here. I think I have it for you. There we go. Listen to what Peter said. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower falls off, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. Everything in life fades away. How many of you have Been around long enough to own more than one car. Why do you own more than one car? Because the cars fade away. How many of you have ever, received, everything fades away. I think you get the picture, right? Everything fades away on this planet except for one thing. The word of the Lord will endure forever. I really like to say there's two things that last forever, the word of God and people, and that's why we preach the word of God to people. All right? Here Peter says, lay aside all sin. And the desire of the word of God will then increase. The word of God is timeless. There's nothing in this life that will be worth desiring more than the word of God. And yet, our flesh constantly is challenging the word of God. Not the preacher, not Christendom, challenging the word of God. Your flesh wants something other than the word of God. Your flesh wants you to sin. Your flesh is corrupted. Your flesh wants you to throw it all away. So what do I hold on to? The one thing that will endure forever, the Word of God. There is nothing that will bless you more, nothing that will bless you in more areas of your life, at least the areas of life that matter, than desiring, than trusting, than living by the Word of God. Psalm 1 actually would be a whole psalm that talks about that. And then Peter gets to that whole idea, okay, if the Word of God is what endures, and then what do I need to get rid of to have this kind of love and this passion? Well, put aside that malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander. Malice is a general word that speaks of all kinds of wrong behavior, especially as it relates to others. Malice is just doing bad things, mean things, rotten things to other people just because you can. Deceit speaks of, well, being deceitful, of lying, of hiding the truth. No one here is guilty of hiding the truth, right? Don't lie. Hypocrisy means pretending to be someone or something that you're not. When we try covering up our wrongdoing by being deceitful and hypocritical, this only leads to more sins like envy and evil speak, which is slander and gossip. And the reason Peter says to be putting this aside, it's like taking off a dirty garment and putting it off into the side. He says to be putting aside such sin, he actually says that you got to do it before you can desire the Word of God. Therefore, putting aside all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, then once you've done that, like newborn babies, guess what? You'll start longing for the Word of the Lord. You'll start longing for the Word of God. Sin suppresses our appetite for the Word of God. It's been said, sin, this book will keep you from sin, and sin will keep you from this book. Sin is an appetite suppressor. If you want to be skinny, spiritually speaking, go ahead and sin. And you will be the runt. You will be spiritually anemic, and you will have to question the evidence of your salvation. Sin is a suppressant of our appetite for the Word of God, and so if we're going to develop a desire for the Word of God, we have to begin with, first and foremost, putting aside the sin in our lives. And here's the problem that I see. And again, I'm not pointing this out for any one person in here, and I speak to myself as well, but it is sad to say that so many Christians have one foot in the world and one in the church. They want it both ways. And you can't have it both ways. You are lukewarm, which John says, if you were lukewarm, what am I going to do? I will vomit you out of my mouth. It's because of that there's no real hunger for the Word of God. How in the world will we have a hunger for the Word of God if we spend more time feeding our flesh than with the filth of this world, rather than feeding our spiritual lives with the only thing that lasts forever? How many of you have heard the commercial, Snickers really satisfies? How many of you like Snickers? Anybody? One per couple. Have you heard the commercial before? Or are you too young? It's Snickers, it really satisfies. No, it doesn't. I eat one of those, I want another one. and then another one. They don't satisfy. And if that's all I eat, guess what? If that's all I long for, guess what? Yeah, I'll get fat, I'll get sick, but I'll, you know, my body will be preserved with all the preservatives, so. If we want to develop a hunger and thirst, we need to get, for the Word of God, we need to get out of the world and into the Word. And when we get back into the Word, we develop a hunger for the Word. And then the Word keeps us from wanting to go back into the world. It's an amazing cycle. Get off the fence and get into the Word of God. Get off those filthy internet sites and get into the Word. Get out of those places that you shouldn't be frequenting and get into the Word. Get away from that person that you ought not to be hanging around with and get into the Word. Get out of the sinful relationship and get into the Word. The Word will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from the Word. Will you do away with sin? That's the first step in developing a hunger for the Word of God. But there's a second point. We need to develop in the Scriptures. Notice in verse 2, Peter, after giving that exhortation, take off all that sinful stuff, put it aside, let it no longer be a part of who you are, no longer let it hinder you. Then he writes, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the Word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. You see, what I get here is the necessity of how essential the Word of God is for your spiritual development. We can sit around as Christians and wish we were bolder. We can sit around as Christians and wish we were holier. We can sit around as Christians and think, oh, I should do more for my family spiritually. I should talk to my neighbors more about the gospel. But are you in the Word? There is a desire that grows out of recognizing a vital need that you have, and that without it being met, you are at a great loss. The baby only knows one thing. I need something in my stomach now, and I'm going to make sure everybody knows it until I'm satisfied. Have you ever seen anybody, any Christian like that? A Christian so violently desirous of the Word of God. Don't bother me. Right now I'm in the Word of God. And I don't mean to be rude about it and neglect other responsibilities and duties, but there's such a hunger there that everybody knows this is that person's time to be in the Word. I'm reminded of one of the men that served in a church that I was in back in San Diego. And he's a young Christian. After he was saved, he had so many things that he was working on and working through, and had a young wife, of course, and he started his Christian walk by spending about an hour and a half to 2 hours every morning. He'd get up around 4 o'clock in the morning and spend a couple of hours in the morning. And his wife, he was behind a closed door, and his wife would walk by the door, and she would hear him mumbling something. I mean, just mumbling and mumbling, and she's getting a little worried that maybe he's talking to himself, maybe he's losing his mind, whatever. And finally, she couldn't handle it anymore after a few months of this and said, "What are you doing in there that you're just mumbling over and over and over again?" And he asked her to sit down, and he quoted for her the Gospel of Matthew, as he'd been memorizing for all of those months, the Gospel of Matthew. That is a man who recognized and had his need and had a hunger for the Word of God. If you have neglected taking care of yourself physically, and because of that you have a heart attack, how might that change your desire for eating right and exercising? You think it might change you a bit? All of a sudden, I need to eat better. I need to eat correctly. I need to be walking a couple of miles a day. I've got to take care of myself. There is a desire that grows out of necessity, but there's a superior desire for us that should grow out of delight. I don't read the Word of God just because it is necessary for my spiritual health, and it is. I read the Word of God because it is my delight. It is my joy. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. But you will never get to the place of delight until you get to the place of necessity. So many of us right now, I believe in the church, we recognize the necessity of being in the Word of God. We all agree. How many of you agree you should read the Word of God more? You should meditate more. You could memorize more. We all agree with that. We know the necessity. But we don't, we really want the delight of it all without saying, you know, I've got to do it. We say to ourselves things like, you know what, if I can't do it for, you know, because of delight, then I shouldn't do it at all. If I'm coming in with a bad attitude as I start this, well, then that's the wrong attitude. No, it's not. Get into the Word and read it and pray for a changed heart. You'll never get to the place of delight until you get to the place of necessity where you are convinced that you must get yourself into the Word of God or you will not only not grow, you are going to die. You will die. Young people, you will die. And I'm not saying necessarily physically. I'm saying you will die spiritually if you don't read your Bible. If you don't meditate on the Word of God. And that's true for us as older folks too. If we stop reading the Word, we start shrinking away. Beloved, if you are not in the Word, not only are you not progressing spiritually, but you are regressing. You're going backwards. You're backpedaling. And eventually you will not be able to hide it anymore. Remember that one of the sins that Peter said to lay aside is hypocrisy. Why? Because if you do not have a desire for the Word of God, I can guarantee you that you're just playing church. That's all you're doing. In fact, you are not only playing church, you are actually straying from it. I believe that the church is filled, and I'm not speaking of just our church, but I believe evangelical churches are filled with people who are straying from the Word of God. And they're there every week. Do you want to develop a desire for the Word? Read the Word of God whether you feel like it or not. Can I say that again? How many of you have not read the Word of God before because you didn't feel like it? What are the feelings? I'm too tired, right? I got to have some me time. Whatever it is, you need to read the Word of God whether you feel like it or not. Why? Because like a newborn baby, it's a matter of life or death. The baby thinks he's going to die. Now, we recognize a baby won't die at least in the 5 or 10 minutes it takes to get the bottle ready, right? The baby doesn't know that. The baby only thinks, if you don't feed me now, I might as well just shrivel up and die. And a baby will die much quicker than an adult, obviously, if they're not fed. Do you have that sense of life and death? Because you will not develop a desire for the Word if you do not get into the Word. And if you have no desire for the Word of God, it's a sure indication that you are spiritually ill at best or spiritually dead at worst. If you go to the doctor because you're anemic, and the reason you're anemic is because you're not eating, what is the doctor going to advise you to do? Eat! Simply eat, right? The doctor is going to advise you to eat, and if you say to the doctor, I don't feel like eating, what is he going to advise you? Eat! You gotta eat, even if you don't feel like it. And if you get sick because of it, you'll eventually be in the hospital, and what will they do to you? They'll pump nutrients into you. Can I tell you that one of the best ways to develop an appetite for the Word of God is just to begin with reading it and read it with a heart that recognizes your desperate need for God. For those of you that have not been reading God's Word regularly, let me just give you this little bit of advice. Let me give you this exhortation. I exhort you, I admonish you in the Lord. Start with the Gospel of John and read through a chapter a day until you get to the end. And if you don't know where to go after you read the Gospel of John, then get back to the first chapter and read it again. And keep reading the Gospel of John until you fall in love with Jesus and fall in love with the words of Christ. And you want to read it more and more and more. Read it meditate on it, study it, and you will find that you will develop a desire for the Word of God. The more you read the Word of God, the more you will want to read it. The less you read the Word of God, well, guess what? The less you will want to read it. It is simple as that. In a moment, I will give you some tips for how you might read Scripture in a way that will increase your desire for it. Before we do that, let's look at that last verse. Not only do we need to develop that sense of the Scriptures, we also need to delight in the Savior. If you have tasted the kindness of the Lord, Peter writes, desire for the Word of God comes from having tasted the grace of God, having tasted the goodness of God. You were a sinner. We still are sinners, but you were a lost sinner. You were headed towards hell. And God opened your eyes, and He saved your soul, and He's given you the promise, I will never leave you or forsake you. In My presence, there are joys forevermore. Desire for the Word of God comes from having tasted that grace, tasting that goodness, having tasted His goodness and salvation, and living your life now in close communion with the Lord. That will stir within you to long more for the Word. You want to know Him. I want to know everything about Him. I want to know what makes Him tick. I want to know what God loves and what He hates. I want to know how God wants me to live and how He doesn't want me to live. I've got to know the details. The only reason for someone to have no desire for the Word is either they have never tasted the grace of God or the goodness of God, or they have drifted from that close, intimate relationship with God that apart from God's Word, you will never experience. Have you tasted that the Lord is good? How many of you have tasted, you know, that the Lord is good? How many of you have experienced the grace of God that transformed you? We sing a song, and we sing it and hear it all over the place. The most beloved hymn of all Christian history. Amazing grace. Amazing grace, and we sing it flippantly, don't we? We just, oh yeah, amazing grace. What's so amazing about grace? It's only amazing if you've experienced it. It's only amazing if you've experienced it. The image of milk and of tasting the Lord's kindness brings up the fact that the Word is not just to fill your head with knowledge, it is to fill your life with delight as you get to know the divine author and enjoy Him in all His perfections. Taste points both to personal experience and enjoyment. How many of you love the taste of good things? I love the taste of prime rib. And I will eat as much as I can. We went to the Outback there for Kathy's birthday, and I ordered prime rib, and my wife ordered some meat, and she only ate half of her meat. And I ordered the biggest piece of prime rib that existed on the planet, I think. And I ate every bit of it, but my wife only ate half of her steak. And she said, "Do you want it?" Yeah. I longed for it. Because I like meat. I'm a meat eater. But the idea, the taste points to personal experience and enjoyment. I love the taste. Do you have something you love like that? Do you love the Word of God like that? I cannot taste for you. I can stand up and preach Sunday after Sunday, and I can maybe inspire you somehow. I might rally the troops to a certain extent, but I cannot taste the goodness of the Lord for you, and you cannot taste it for me. We can only taste for ourselves, and to taste something, you've got to experience it, and you've got to do it up close. You can't say, "Wow, that steak looks good, yummy, I'm experiencing the steak." When I say the steak looks good, it means that in a moment I will be tasting that particular cut of beef. You can see and hear and smell at a distance, but you can only taste something by touching it to your tongue. You can only taste God's Word by drawing near to God and personally appropriating the richness of knowing Him. Once you like the taste of something, you don't just eat it to live. You live to eat it. And I know that's true for more than just the Word of God, because I just talked about steak, but anyway. You'll want it as often as you can get it. If I could swing prime rib every day, I would. All right? The church budget just doesn't allow it, so. God's Word is that way for all who have tasted His kindness. Do you want to taste the goodness and the grace of God? Do you want to experience that delight of a close and intimate relationship with the Lord? You must get to know Him and His Word for yourself. And I want to give you some keys to reading and knowing the Bible in a way that I believe leads to defeating sin, that first point, to developing yourself spiritually, our second point, and delighting in the Savior. And if you want to write these down, you can. If you don't, well, I don't know how you're going to remember them all. There's seven, all right? The first thing, there's nothing fancy about what I'm about to tell you, but I can tell you this. This is basically like saying, okay, here's your plate, here's your fork, here's your knife, here's the piece of meat. I can do all of that for you. You still got to cut the piece of meat. Well, I could even cut the meat for you if you need me to. I might taste the piece if I do, but you have to taste it, okay? So how do we do away with sin? How do we develop ourselves in the Scriptures? And how do we delight in the Savior? First of all, prioritize the Word of God in your life. You make time for what's important to you. I promise every one of you makes time for that which is most important to you. If the Word of God is not a part of that priority, then the Word of God is not important to you, and I'm telling you, you are sick. And you need to change something in your life. You need to make time to read the Bible daily and to study it on your own at least once a week. Read it daily and study it at least once a week. You might not be able to do what I do just because my position affords it to get all the commentaries out and look at the Greek and do all of that, but you can read it every day, and then you can put one day aside at least and say, okay, I'm going to go back to this particular passage and I'm going to see what it's really saying. Prioritize the Word. Second, hey, and they're all P's, all right? It's alliterated. You like it? Ponder the Word. So, you've read the Word of God. You know what? I would encourage you, if you are reading daily, choose at least one verse or one passage, mark it on your phone, put it on a 3x5 card, do whatever you have to do that you can ponder it. Take a portion of the Word from your reading and meditate upon it and think about how it applies to your life. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Just start pondering that. What does that mean to taste? What does it mean that the Lord is good? And start breaking that down and maybe add some other verses to it. But ponder the Word. All right? The next one. And here I've asked you to write these down so I can actually say this. Pen the Word. Pen the Word. Do you know, have a pen in your hand and make notes. Write a journal. Have a journal to write what God is teaching you. Because writing something down, I think, Jim, you would attest to this, right? You've got a number of journals. You write something down, it is much more likely to be retained, much more likely to be remembered, much more likely to be pondered. And I would imagine that, I keep my journals. I've got one with me, and I make my notes and everything. It's an amazing thing to think about. As the more that I journal, the more I remember. The less I journal, the less I really remember. You can go back and you can see growth, or sometimes you can see mistakes that you're making. If you're writing some of the things down that's happened in a particular day or week, so pen the Word and keep that journal. Next thing I would tell you to do is personalize the Word. I already told you this. Oh, how I love your law. Psalm 119:97. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. How did I personalize it? You remember? I asked the question. Is this true of me? I just personalized it. Is this me? Can I put my name in there? Oh, how Ed loves your law. It is Ed's meditation all the day. Is that true? See, I can all of a sudden personalize it. It means that I'm taking God's Word and applying it to me by rephrasing it in the first person singular. Now, I don't mean to get all narcissistic about it. It's not about you, per se, but it begins with that recognition, hey, if my life's going to bring glory to God, it has to be according to the Word of God, and therefore I need to do the things that the Word of God says a person who glorifies God does. The only way that I can do that is to say, is this statement true about me? I personalize the Word. Number five, pray the word. I think one of the most remarkable things, John MacArthur has a book, I'm backing up, John MacArthur has a book called called something. It's not Before the Throne, it's called Approaching the Throne or something. Now I can't remember, but I'm sorry. The book, the content of the book are the pastoral prayers that he has given at Grace Community Church over the years. It's an entire book of pastoral prayers by John MacArthur. If you happen to read that, you open it up and it is chock full of scripture. It is a prayer prayed for his congregation, prayed for himself, praying for, evangelism, but it's just a mixture of his thoughts with the scriptures. I think at times if you pay attention to the pastoral prayers from this pulpit, I seek to interject as much scripture as the Lord will bring to my memory as I pray. Pray the word. Well, I don't know how to do that. I don't have as many verses memorized, Pastor, as you do. You probably have more than you think. And you don't, unlike quizzing, you don't have to do it word perfect. God's a little more gracious than we are. Word perfect, right? But pray the word. What did you read today? What did you read today in Scripture? And come on, if you've been at church, everybody read something today. Psalm 100. Could you pray Psalm 100? Open your Bible and pray Psalm 100. How might you pray Psalm 100? Lord, may I be one of those who shout joyfully because of my salvation. Grant me the grace that I may serve you, not begrudgingly, but with gladness. Help me, God, as I come before you to sing joyfully, to express my gratitude for all that you have done for me. Oh God, I am so blessed to know that you yourself are God, that you are the one who made me, that I am the sheep. I am a sheep in your pasture. I pray, Father God, that I might enter your courts with the appropriate thank offering, that I would give that thanks to you, that I would bless your name, for you alone are worthy. Because when I stop to think about it, Lord, you are good, your loving kindness is everlasting, and your faithfulness endures for all generations. I just prayed Psalm 100. How hard was that? Could you do that? Yeah? Anthony, could you do that? All of us could. Now, if you're reading Psalm 119, it's a little harder to pray all 176 verses, but, just take a portion and pray the Word. Personalize it, all right? Number six, practice the Word. I am a firm believer that if you read God's Word in the morning, or it could be the night before, that's fine. But you get up the next day, you need to remember what you read, and then you need to say, God, by your good providence, you have given me this portion of Scripture to read. Now, I want to put it into practice. Help me, as James says what? To not be simply a hearer of the Word, but an effectual doer of the Word. If you want to be blessed by the Word, you must do more than hear it and read it. You must obey it. Do you practice the Word? Yeah. That does you no good, right? Do you practice the Word? I'll ask the question. By God's providence, you were admonished to be a thankful person through the preaching of Psalm 100. How many of you have practiced any portion of that today? How many of you have sought to put one principle or several of the principles into practice? See, that's what we're talking about. You will not do away with sin if you're not practicing the Word of God. You had, in one sense, something. How many of you sometimes can find Bible study difficult? Can it be difficult? Like, what am I reading? How many of you have ever read a chapter or two of Scripture only to close your Bible and go, what on earth did I just read? Okay, we get there. I understand that. I do the same thing. I gotta go back, okay? I have no clue here, so I'm gonna, you know, open my Matthew Henry or something and try to get some idea of what's going on. But this morning you were handed on a platter. You were handed on a platter the principles of being a thankful person. Are you practicing it? Because you will not do away with sin if you don't practice. Now, I'm not saying that's the only thing you need to practice. I'm just saying, I mean, that's what Sunday is. It is, that's prime rib. I just threw it out there for you. You're all over it, aren't you? Okay. All right? Practice the Word. You know, it's interesting. I don't know why I'm telling you this, but I'll pray that it's the Spirit and not my flesh. Psalm 105 verses, and it took me over an hour to preach that. It takes me approximately 8 to 10 hours, maybe 9 to 11 hours, to put a typical message together for a Sunday morning. It took me over 20 hours to put that together, trying to figure out how do you put these all of this together. I mean, it's really just seven commands, as I showed you, and I just put the little framework on it to give you something to think about, some way to break it up so we're not just going seven things, wow, you know, but to think that you could spend that much time, 20 hours, to put together a message that takes an hour to proclaim. But what are you doing with it? As one who believes God's providence spoke it to you, are you practicing it? The last thing, and Nancy Lee, you said this before, if we're going to, if we really love something, we're going to proclaim it. And that's the last thing here. We need to proclaim the Word. I think it's one of the best ways, by the way, to do a couple of things. If you read your Bible in the morning and you can get just one thing, so you're reading Psalm 119, and you come to verse 97, oh, how I love your law, it is my meditation all the day. Okay, I need to really meditate on that today. Young people, tell your parents, I'm meditating on Psalm 119, verse 97, and it says this, and paraphrase it. Get to youth group on Wednesday and say, here's the verse I meditated on for a day or two. Tell it to your spouse. Tell it to a parent. Tell it to a child. Share what you're reading. Share what God is showing you with others. Someone said that the more of the Word of God you give away, the more the Word sticks to you. I really believe it. The more that I try to get the Word of God out of me, the more the Word of God gets in me. And that's an amazing thought. Prioritize the Word, ponder the Word, pen the Word, personalize the Word, pray the Word, practice the Word, and proclaim the Word. Coming back to this verse, the psalmist wrote, I opened my mouth wide and panted, for I longed for your commandments. Do you have that longing for God's Word? That's my challenge to you tonight. Do you have that longing for God's Word? If you do not, why not? In the worst case scenario, it could be that you do not know God. It could mean that you've never truly tasted the grace of God in salvation. And I plead with you, then the first step for all of this is to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. You will never delight in His Word if you do not know Him as Lord and Savior. That trusting that He's died for your sins, that He rose on the third day, that He's ascended into heaven, and that He's promised to return. That's when you begin to take the milk of the Word as a necessity. It could be that you are saved, but that you do not have a desire for the Word. That happens. It could be, and I'm telling you that if you do not have a desire for the Word, it's because of one thing. What is it? Sin. Confess that sin. Do away with that sin. Peter said, put it away. And Jeremiah wrote, your words were found, and I ate them. And your words became for me what? A joy and a delight of my heart. For I have been called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. What a great verse. Anybody know where to find the word? Open your Bible. Open your Bible and eat. Open your Bible and read. Open your Bible and read and meditate and then share what you're learning. It's an incredible statement that Jeremiah makes. If you do not have a desire for the Word of God, then I say to you tonight, draw near to God by making time to develop in His Word, and He will draw near to you. And as God draws near to you, you will taste two things: the goodness of the Lord and the kindness of the Lord, and you will delight in the Savior. And I believe that that way you will begin to long for the pure milk of the Word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. Now, I preached at you mostly tonight, and so I'm going to take a deep breath and just ask, are there any comments, any questions, anything that you'd like to add, any personal experiences that you might share that relate to what we've talked about tonight? You can't bear fruit if you're not being nurtured, if you're not being given the necessary nutrients to bear fruit. And that's what Jesus said, I've chosen you that you might bear fruit, and fruit that will last, in John 15.
Or if you're not patient either.
Yes.
You plant a tree, oh man, it's only grown 2 feet, chop it down.
Yeah. There is a sense that we have to be patient. Yeah, absolutely. You plant an avocado tree, it takes about 7 years before it's going to produce an avocado. Yes. Any other thoughts, comments or questions? I don't even know what time it is. 7:04. Okay, we're doing fine. Any other thoughts or questions? Do away with sin. You know, develop that delight for Scripture, and of course, delight in the Savior as well. And very simple passage to go back to: get rid of the sin in your life. That's something you got to do. And by the way, that's not something that you do once. It's not a magical thing. You become a Christian, you never have to do away with sin. Every day, you put it away. Every day, you get into the world and you get covered with the filth of the world, you put it aside. And then you go to the Word and long for the Word, because it's that which satisfies you. It's what fills you. It's what cleanses you. It's what prepares you for the next day. When you go back out and you proclaim it, and the world does what? Throws all of its filth on you, and you come out and you put it aside. And you long for the pure milk of the Word, and you're washed by it again, and you're prepared, and that's just the cycle until Lord Jesus comes. Any other thoughts or comments or questions? All right. Well, let me close in a word of prayer. We're done a few minutes early. That makes up for the weeks that I went a few minutes over. Just a reminder that our groups are still meeting, the Awana groups, so keep your conversations down to a dull roar, or if you're moving things, I know, like the mover back there. Heavenly Father, we do thank you that you are a God who has made yourself known. As we were reminded this morning, we thank you that you are the God who has revealed to us in your Word what your name is. We thank you that we can call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your faithfulness. And your faithfulness includes giving us your Word, the Word that we are to long to take in, the Word that will change us from the inside out, the Word that will give us life and allow us to be that gives life to others, not that we give the life, but Father, you use the words, your Scripture, to bring others to faith, to see the light of Christ. And Father, may our lives desire that, and then may we reflect it. Thank you for the time you've given us this evening to think about this topic. We pray that we would do certainly more than just be hearers of such things, but also doers. And I pray for each and every one of us, but I do pray for our young people that, Lord, you would give them that desire and that hunger for the Word of God. It's easy, Father, for many of us to simply go through the motions, but even those young ones among us who are growing up in Christian homes and have all the benefits of that I pray, Lord, that you would allow their faith to become their faith, that their love for you, that they would develop their own love for you and not simply fall on the heels of the love of their parents. Father, I pray that you would impart to them that longing for the Word of God. May they see that in their parents. May they see that in other adults in this church. Father, may we be a people of the book, a people who proclaim the book, a people who love the book, a people who most especially love the God of the book. In this we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.